All right, let's turn back into your Bible to Philippians chapter 1. Today we're going to be looking at verses 12 through 14, and just the title of the message is dealing with furtherance of the gospel. As we've been coming through, again, just verse by verse, saying a number of things, and just talking about Paul and how he really just, his love that he has for this church, and just talking about the fellowship that he had with them. That was a key point in verse 5. Obviously, he was confident in the work that God was doing in their lives that would be completed. And last week, we looked at verses 10 and 11 and just really looking at talking about approving the things that are excellent. And the Word of God is what's defined in the Bible as being excellent. God's love or charity is what is excellent. And dealing with that continued to help us to be filled with the fruits of righteousness and understanding that the fruit of the Spirit gives us the capability to be able to do the things that God would have us to do, to be able to minister to the truth of the Word of God, to be able to grow in our walk and relationship with Him, to be able to have that fellowship. Some of the things we talk about, to have that fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all those things that we're able to have because, again, of the Spirit of God that we have in our life because of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we look at this, I mean, that's important resources, in a sense, spiritually to have to accomplish the things that we need to see. And really today, I'm going to challenge you, and challenge myself, to really take a different perspective when things seemingly go wrong in our life. When things don't kind of go according to plan, what's the point, what's the purpose? And having a perspective of it being to further the gospel. Let's read these verses, and we'll have a word of prayer, and we'll get started on what we need to see today. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12, it says this, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out, rather, unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Today we're going to look at these three verses, but 2 points again, and looking at first Paul's bonds. He was in prison when he writes the book of Philippians as well as the book of Ephesians, which we'll go to in a little bit in some of our cross-references. But he's in prison, all right, during this time. And so verses 12 and 13, we'll look at Paul's bonds. And then in verse 14, we'll talk about the brethren's boldness. And we'll spend some time there in verse 14. And because of the things that Paul was going through, it should give us the boldness to be, in a sense, just like him, to follow that example of being able to preach the Word of God, to further the gospel. And so what we have here is that Paul is not using being in prison because of preaching Christ as an excuse to stop preaching the truth. He uses it as an opportunity to further the gospel. And so we're going to have a word of prayer, and we'll get started on what we need to see today, because I think we need to understand and glean from this that the things and the troubles and the trials that maybe we go through is not meant to hinder and to stop us, but really to further the gospel. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, I thank you and praise you for your word. I thank you for the book of Philippians. I thank you for the vision that you've given us this year and being able to have a vision to grow. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see the things that we need to see, the truth of your word, and understanding that when things seemingly go wrong, when things do not go according to plan, that instead of looking at it as being, woe is me and why am I going through this, let's try to, as Paul, seek how we can have the gospel to be furthered. How can I use this circumstance and this situation to bring you glory, to be able to share truth of the Word of God with others? And that's a hard thing to really, I think, for us to try to do. It's easy to understand. There's nothing in this message, I think, that's going to be complicated at all. But it's going to be hard for us sometimes because our flesh likes to get in the way. So, Lord, I pray that you would get us out of the way, open up our hearts, open up our minds, help us to see the truth that we need to see today in these verses. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go back to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12 and start looking at Paul's bonds. Now, verse 12, he says this, "But I would, ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out, rather, unto the furtherance of the gospel." Because it looks like something that would be a hindrance and a stop to the gospel. After all, Paul is put in prison. He's in Rome because of preaching the gospel. And Paul's not looking at this, and he wants the Philippians to understand that, hey, this is not a hindrance. This is not something that is preventing me from preaching the gospel. It's giving me further opportunity to reach people that I wouldn't have had opportunity to reach before. And that almost seems like a foreign concept because it's so easy for us in the flesh to say, hey, something's happened, maybe the car breaks down or whatever happens, something happens at work, and we think, man, this is a real pain. What we need to do is look at, well, what does God want to have happen here? Honestly, to grow me spiritually, like we talked about last year, going through the book of Job and some of the trials that we go through. but also how can I use this opportunity to be able to further the gospel? Now, I want you to go back to Acts chapter 16. I know this is going to be a lengthy passage to read through, but I think in able to understand everything that we're talking about here, we need to go through this. Now, this is that chapter, if you remember, at the beginning or early at the end of last year, that we came to deal with our vision for the year, because this, in chapter 16 on Paul's second missionary journey, this is where he gets that vision to go to Europe. We saw where the Holy Spirit hindered him from going to the Galatia and to other places, but he gives Paul a vision to be able to go to Europe and to go to Macedonia. And so in the rest of this chapter, we start seeing exactly what takes place. And so I want you to actually pick this up in verse 16. So Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 16, and we're going to read down through about verse 33. But I think it's imperative that we get the whole context of what's going on. It says this, starting in Acts 16, verse 16. It says, "And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying." Again, this is in Philippi that this is taking place. The very book that we're studying, the book of Philippians, this is where this is taking place. So you have this damsel that's possessed with the spirit. She's able to look into the future, so to speak, and obviously the people that were her masters or in control of her were making a lot of money by this. It really is not that far off or different than what sometimes we see today that's going on. But it goes on to verse 17. It says, "The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." Now, what she is saying is really not wrong. And that's exactly what Paul and them are doing. They're laying out the way of salvation. But the problem is that this is a demon-possessed lady that's doing this. And so you can imagine the confusion that would be going on. In verse 18, it says this, "And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that her hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers." They weren't happy about this. Verse 20. "And then brought them to the magistrate, saying, These men, being Jews," throws the race card out there, by the way, "do increasingly trouble our city." And it's just interesting, I don't want to get into this too much, but I'm going to tell you this. Satan loves to use race to divide us. And it's gone on for a long time, and that issue will continue to be. Just understand the mind behind it. It is Satan, and he likes to divide. And you see that right here, and nothing has changed. But let's move on to verse 21. It says this, "And teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them." I mean, Paul and Silas, they've done nothing wrong here. They're preaching the gospel. And they get beaten for that fact. And it doesn't stop there. Verse 23. It says, "And when they had laid many stripes upon them," that means they whipped them, "they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks." So they have been beaten, they have been whipped, they've been thrown into prison, their feet are fastened in the stocks so they can't just move about freely. This is what takes place for preaching the gospel. Now you would think that this would be a hindrance. You would think that this is like, man, this is terrible. It's like, they're going to shut up and not speak anymore. They do literally opposite of that. You move on and it says this in verse 25. "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." Now before we move on here, it's like, that just blows my mind. They've been put in prison, really falsely, for preaching the gospel, all right? And they get beat, they get whipped, they're thrown in prison, their feet are fast to the stocks there, they can't move around. And at midnight, what do? Are they complaining? No, they're not. Are they saying, woe is me? No, they're not. What do? They are praying to God, and they're singing praises. We sing praises, well, everything's going well, and we're all happy and so forth. They are beat up and bruised, and they're singing praises to God. They're not looking at this as a hindrance. They're looking at this to further the gospel. And as you look at verse 25, notice that and the prisoners heard them. They weren't Paul and Silas kind of sit there, okay, Silas, I think, you know what, we're going to praise God, but let's keep it on the down low. I don't want any other prisoners to hear us because, you know what, they may ridicule us. They've already been beaten in public for the gospel. I mean, honestly, that's not an issue. They prayed and sang praises so the other prisoners can hear them. In other words, they were not ashamed of the gospel. Even though they were beat up and thrown in prison for preaching the gospel, they didn't let that be a hindrance. They're going to further the gospel. Verse 26. It says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. They're free to go. Verse 27. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Because that was the rule. That was the law. If you were in charge of prisoners and they escaped on your watch, you die. He's not getting ready to draw the sword to go start hacking at the prisoners to try to prevent them from escaping. He knows what the law is. He's getting ready to kill himself. See what happens. In verse 27 again, it says, and the keeper of the prisoner, awaking out of his sleep, he shouldn't have been sleeping anyway, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Now, by all indications, this is the same jailer that once he got the charge of Paul and Silas, thrusted them in the prison and fastened their feet to the stocks. And Paul is like, hey, don't kill yourself. Now, you might think, I mean, think about it. Just be honest with yourself. If you were in the same situation, you're out there and it's like, oh man, you know what? I know what the Word of God says, and we're talking about, you know, preaching and teaching the Word of God. Let me go out, and I'm going to start preaching and teaching, and all of a sudden you get thrown in jail, you get beat up and everything like that, and it's in the bed midnight. Would you be praising God? Would you be praying? Or what would your prayer be? God, why did you allow this to happen to me? And then all of a sudden, the doors open up, you're free to go. The guard that's watching you is getting ready to kill himself. Be honest. Some of you have been like, man, I wish I had some popcorn. I want to watch this. Oh, I know what you did to me. Yeah, go ahead and kill yourself. And then I'm going to... Paul is concerned about his soul. Hey, do yourself no harm. And notice what it says here. In verse 28, it says, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. I find that a big miracle in itself. We don't know who else was in that prison. I doubt that they were believers in Christ. Matter of fact, that's why God sent Paul and Silas and Timothy. Timothy is not here in this situation. To Macedonia, to Philippi in the first place, was to further the gospel. But all the prisoners were there. Now think about this. If we're going down to Crawford County, going down to the jail there, and all of a sudden all the cells open up, the doors open up, so the prisoners are free, how many of them do you think would just stay right there? Do you think every prisoner in Crawford County or Cherokee County, if the prison doors were open, do you think they'd just, you know what, I'm going to stay right here because that's the right thing to do? I think that's a miracle in and of itself. They're all there. Paul says, don't do yourself any harm. We are all here. Notice what happens after that. Pick it up in verse 29. It says this, then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now, I don't know what's going on with this guy. Because remember, he was sleeping. I don't know what God was doing in this man's heart. Maybe he was the vision of the Macedonian man that God gave to Paul in the first place. Because right now, their ministry in Philippi was a group of ladies down by the river that they did prayer service. All of a sudden, they get thrown in prison unjustly, and this jailer there has got the charge over them, and he sees all this thing happening and everything, and he says, hey, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Getting beat up for the gospel and thrown in prison for Paul and Silas wasn't a hindrance to the gospel. It was to further the gospel. And that's exactly what happens with this jailer and his family. Let's finish this up here. We need to move on and spend all day on this. But he goes on and it says in verse 30, it says, "And brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they spake unto him," what? "The word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house." And says, "And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway." This jailer gets saved and his house because they heard the word. The gospel got furthered. Instead of that, what we would call a negative, a very negative situation, is used and turned around to further the gospel. Because Paul was more concerned about people's souls as opposed to physically what happened to him. Now, I know this is a hard thing that we're talking about. And as we, before we go back to Philippians, I want you to stop off in Romans chapter 8 and verse 8, or 28, excuse me. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 real quick. Because, again, we need to have this perspective. I mean, I doubt that any of us is going to have this extreme situation happen to us today, or tomorrow, or this week, this month, or probably even this year, or probably even the year after that if we're still here. In other words, if the Lord doesn't come back. I doubt we're going to probably go through something like that for preaching and teaching the truth of the Word of God. But what about other circumstances and situations? Like I mentioned, car breaks down. Instead of thinking, man, what a problem this is, and I got to spend money that I don't have, and so forth and so on, how do you not know that your car broke down for a reason? And that God is going to use that to talk to somebody that normally you would never probably be in contact with. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, it says this, "And we know that all things, the good and the bad and the ugly, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." All things that happen in your life, there is a purpose for it. Even the tough times, the tragic times, are things that God allows to be able to, one, to grow us spiritually, to get closer to Him. I mean, those are things that, again, we talked about last year in the book of Job, but also to be to further the gospel. Some of you probably have heard this example from me before, but it's one that just, again, just pops out in my mind because it literally was that kind of situation. To where it was a day that I was, it was a beautiful day outside, and I was at the, I don't know, the Home Depot or something like that, some things to pick up or whatever the case was. And this is back when we lived in Marion, Kansas. And all of a sudden I come out of the store or wherever it was, and then I noticed that there's a tire that was flat, absolutely flat. And it's like I'd go through the thing and get the spare out, and I chose. I don't say I'd do this all the time and be perfect, but at that day I chose, you know what? I'm going to thank God and praise God in this situation. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to murmur about, oh my gosh, it's going to, I'm going to, no, I started thanking God. And I was like, God, thank you that this is a nice day. It's not raining. It could be raining and I have to do this. God, thank you that this took place in a parking lot and not on the road or the highway somewhere it would be a little bit more dangerous. I just thought, I'm just going to thank and praise God. And it ended up where, I mean, I had issues because even, I mean, I got it back home. I thought I was going to do it later, but I get out and it's like my spare is even flat. You know, I ended up having to call a tow truck and take it to the place where I usually get my car fixed. And the guy that picked me up, the tow truck driver, started getting in conversation with him. By the time I was done with this whole thing, I was able to share the gospel with him. And he took me back home, you know, and paid for the stuff. He took me back home, stuff like that, with the car. But I was able to go and get him a Bible. Now, I've never seen this man since. Have no idea what has happened to him. Don't know if he ever accepted Christ. I don't know. But I would have never had the opportunity to share the gospel and give that man God's word if my tire didn't go flat that day. I would love that every time that something goes wrong, that I have that kind of act. Let me praise God. Now, again, I'm preaching to myself more than preaching to you guys. But what I'm saying is that perspective. When something happens that seemingly is not a good thing or a right thing or a nice thing, whatever you want to call it, how is it that God can use this to further the truth of the Word of God? to further the gospel. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 1 and move on. All right. So we see again in verse 12, we start saying Paul's bonds, but we get a little bit more of that and talking about in verse 13. Verse 13, it says this, "So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all of the places." So when Paul was in Rome, he was in prison. At the time, he was in charge of Rome as far as Nero was concerned. He was in the palace. So basically, it was not a terrible situation, but he was still in prison and he was in this palace. And the thing about it is, like, his bonds, the bonds that are in Christ, would be manifest in a palace. So those that were there guarding him and dealing with him would see the truth of Christ. Now, I need you to go back to Acts, but this time, Acts chapter 20. I should have just had you put a bookmark in Acts, and I will tell you, we'll go back to Acts one more time in this message. But right now, I want you to go to Acts chapter 20, and let's look down at verses 22 and 24. As you make your way there, I'll give you a little bit of the context of where we see where Paul is at the leaders of Ephesus, and he's getting ready to go to Jerusalem, and it's his heart, his desire to be able to minister the truth of the Word of God in Jerusalem. But God and the Spirit of God and prophets were telling Paul that bonds and afflictions are going to bind you in going to Jerusalem. It's not going to turn out to be that good, but Paul is like, I'm going to do this anyway. Now, I want you to pick it up in verse 22. So, Acts chapter 20, verse 22, and we'll read down through verse 24. It says this, "And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." In other words, he's not for sure everything is going to happen, but it's not going to be a good situation when he goes to Jerusalem. But notice his determination in verse 24. "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." In other words, all the bonds and afflictions and things that was going to happen to him, he wasn't concerned about that. He wasn't concerned about his own life. What he was concerned about was being able to further the gospel, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. None of those things was going to move him. It's the same that we have. We will let any excuse stop and hinder us from sharing the truth, from sharing the Word of God. Well, what if they laugh at me? What if they don't like me? What if they talk about me? What if, you know, I lose out on a promotion? What if, you know, I get overlooked or at the job or whatever? I mean, we come with all these excuses. Kurt and I were talking earlier this week, as, you know, the two things that you're not supposed to talk about is what? Politics and religion. I'm supposed to talk about those things. I'm not about talking about religion. I am talking about a relationship with Christ. I'm at my job for a reason. God has me there for a reason. Beyond just the physical of earning a paycheck and taking care of them, those things are important. Those things are biblical. All right? Pay the bills. I mean, that's all biblical. But I'm there for something more important than that, the eternal, to be able to have an opportunity to share the truth. It doesn't mean that I'm cramming the Bible down people's throats or anything like that. But if people have questions, I need to be ready. And, hey, Charles, what did you talk about on Sunday? Or what did you do? Or what's going on in your life? And, you know, why do you read the Bible? Whatever the case is. How are you praying? What are you praying for? I mean, I want to be ready to give an answer. And in my life, well, that's good for you, but not for me. Then that's fine. I can't control somebody's decisions and actions. But God has me there for a reason, to be a light. God has you where you are at, whether it's job, whether it's family, whether it's community, wherever, to be a lighthouse, to be a light. And we'll talk about that more as we come through the book of Philippians this year. But Paul wasn't going to let any of these things move him, to hinder him in preaching and teaching the truth of the gospel. I want you to go to Ephesians real quick. Before we get back to Philippians, I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 6. As you make your way there, after the book of Galatians, you got the book of Ephesians. I want you to look at chapter 6. This is that great chapter that talks about the armor of God. We are in a spiritual warfare. And the last piece of the armor of God that's talked about really is prayer. It's the seventh piece, the importance of prayer. And you see where Paul is going to be asking for the Ephesians to be praying for him and for the opportunity to be able to share truth. Now notice this. I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to pick it up verses 19 and 20. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. It says, "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly. We're going to be talking about that in our last point here. To make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. He's in prison. That therein I may speak boldly, notice, as I ought to speak. How I ought to speak. Is this something I really owe the Lord to do? That's the idea behind that. Because of what Jesus Christ has done for me on the cross, suffered my death and hell, resurrected the third day. I mean, I have forgiveness of sins because of what Jesus Christ did, shedding His blood on the cross. I ought to speak boldly the truth of that gospel. And he's praying. Now, Paul, we've seen here, just going through Acts chapter 16, that Paul is obviously very bold in speaking the truth no matter the circumstance, but yet he is still praying or asking the Ephesians to pray for him to be able to speak boldly. He's an ambassador in bonds. We know what an ambassador is. An ambassador is somebody who represents their country on a foreign soil. As believers in Christ, we are ambassadors. Our country is heaven. Our passport is the Holy Spirit of God, a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are here on earth representing heaven and what Jesus Christ has done, no matter the circumstance, is being able to preach and teach the Word of God to people. We shouldn't let anything be an excuse in stopping us from doing that. Now, was Paul's prayer answered? Yes, it was. I want you to go back to Philippians, but I want you to look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 22. Now, obviously, we'll deal with this when we get to the end of the book of Philippians at the end of this year, but I want you to look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 22. He's praying and he wants people to pray for him, even though he's in prison. Give me opportunities to share the truth, even though I'm in prison. Notice what it says at the end of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 22. It says, he's given his salutations. I'll actually read from verse 21. It says, salute every saint in Christ Jesus. It says, the brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. It's like, the saints, the ones that he, Paul, reached by being in prison, they chiefly they salute you. They are really wanting to salute you, the Philippians. Think about it. If Paul was not in prison, prison in Caesar's household, his palace, those saints that are in Caesar's household wouldn't be saints. Remember, a saint is somebody that has accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Alright? They wouldn't be saved. They were thankful that Paul was there. And Paul would say, woe is me, I'm in prison for preaching the gospel, I will speak the gospel no more. No. I'm going to speak the truth. And you Ephesians, you pray for me so that I'm able to have opportunity, open doors, to speak the truth, to further the gospel. Folks, this really is a simple message today. This is not hard to understand. It's a matter of whether we're going to have the boldness to do it. And I know it can be all kinds of excuses happen. Our flesh can be like, well, you can't do this. You don't know enough. Or what are people going to think? And so forth and so on. And Satan will come in and have all kinds of doubts thrown your way. And like, how dare you think you can speak anything? You know what you've done in your life and so forth and make you feel all guilty. All of that stuff. Either excuse or allow Satan to have victory over you. It does not matter what has happened in your past. God's grace and God's Word is able to deal with and cover it. And guess what? You can say, well, I don't like speaking in public, or I don't like, you can come up with all kinds of excuses. Look. Let's learn from the Apostle Paul. He prayed and asked people to pray for him to have boldness to speak. Just like we talked about the ability to love others, even though we don't have the same type of personality or like, dislike, or interest, whatever, our ability to love all men comes from where? God, the Lord Jesus Christ. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. The source of the love comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. and the Spirit of God, not within and of ourselves. So the boldness that we're talking about, that we need to share the truth. And again, I'm not talking about cramming and slapping people over the head with the Bible. But as we have an open door, they want to know something. Whoever, again, a co-worker, family member, person in the community, whatever it is, as they give us an open door to have the boldness to walk through it. Let's look at this last point that we need to cover today. Go back to Philippians chapter 1 in verse 14. I'll again read from verse 12. It says, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out, brethren, to the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Notice what Paul, being in prison for preaching the gospel and still being bold enough to continue to preach the gospel, notice what the effect was. That when the brethren heard about this, they too waxed confident and had the boldness to also speak. When you go through something, and you take the opportunity to say, you know what? I'm going to look at it as an opportunity to further the gospel. And brothers and sisters in Christ see that, then it will give them the boldness for them to also do the same. Well, if Charles can do that, man, I can do that. If Kirk does that, I mean, he can do that. I see Arnold do that. You know what? I think I can do that too. Because it's not a matter of trusting within ourselves and in our flesh. That's the thing we've got to remember. It's a matter of trusting in the God that saved you. Get this. If Jesus Christ and His shed blood has the power to save you from an eternity in hell. Remember, that is the greatest problem you ever had. That's the greatest problem that any man born on this planet and any woman born on this planet ever has, is dying and going to hell because you don't have Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior. And if God the Father has dealt with that and given a solution to the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the greatest problem you ever have. Don't you think the same God has the power to give you the boldness to speak truth when you have the opportunity? I want you to go back to Acts again. I promise that we keep going back to Acts. This time I want you to go to Acts chapter 4. If you make your way there, the context is the church in Jerusalem. We're talking about the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ as they're sharing the gospel of the kingdom. Don't have time to get into the difference there, but we will probably cover that as we continue through the book of Philippians. It's important to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All the Bible is for you, but not all the Bible is to you. So there's some things that are doctrinally different in dealing with the church that's in Jerusalem as opposed to what Paul was dealing with us Gentiles in the body of Christ. But we can still learn from this and get inspiration from this. And I want you to look at Acts chapter 4, because what you have here is that you have the Pharisees telling Peter, James, and John not to preach anymore in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were persecuting them and telling them that you better not do this, all right? And so notice what it says about them. This is absolutely incredible. I love this. Acts chapter 4 and verse 13 says this. These are the Pharisees here, the Sanhedrin Council. It says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John." Now remember, Peter's the one that denied Jesus Christ three times, right? That's St. Peter. "Oh, I don't know him. Oh, I don't know him. Oh, I don't know him." Let me give it some curse words to add my authority here. "I don't know this man." It's the same Peter that denied him. Again, verse 13. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were ignorant," or unlearned and ignorant men. "They marveled." And notice, "and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." The word ignorant in the Bible is not a put down in the slam like we use the word today. Ignorant means you just don't know something. And so what they're saying is, like, when they saw that, hey, they knew that Peter and John and all those apostles said, they didn't go to Hebrew school. They were fishermen. The Pharisees are the ones that, the name Pharisee means separated ones. Their whole life was about studying the Scripture. That was not Peter and James and John. They were unlearned. They were ignorant men. But what did the Pharisees say about them? The boldness that they had, they took knowledge that they've been with who? With Jesus. Folks, it is no different today. No, we can't physically go into heaven and sit down at the feet of Jesus and be educated by Him for 3.5 years. Even the Apostle Paul, when he came to Christ, that the Lord showed up to him, and he had that same amount of time of the Lord giving the doctrine that we have today to him. You see that in the book of Galatians and other places, in the book of Acts as well. But we can't physically do that. But you know what we have? God has given us His Word. As I said a week or so ago, you don't have to go to a Bible college. You don't have to go to a seminary. I did one semester of a Bible college. You know what I learned about that? That I don't need to be at that Bible college. No one of the rest of you, they believed several different things. It was a mess. What it did for me is know that I need to get back to Kansas City. I know a church that I need to go to. And my church educated me. As I spent time in the Word of God. They had their own pastor school. The point is that everybody in Christ has the ability to learn, to spend time with Jesus as you open up the Word of God and listen to the Lord speak to you. As you spend time in prayer, speaking back to God. That's all what we're talking about here. Now, I'm not discouraging seminaries and Bible colleges. If that's something you want to do, then hey, fine. What I'm telling you is, you don't need to have some fancy degree with a whole bunch of letters behind your name to be able to take the truth of the Word of God and share it with somebody else. Because all God is looking for is somebody with an open heart and an open book. He'll teach you. He'll give you what you need. He'll give you that boldness. Now, I don't want you to lose track here in Acts chapter 4 because, again, you see, it's an incredible testimony that the Pharisees recognized about Peter and John, that they had been with Jesus. That should be our testimony. But when John and when Peter, when they came back to the church of Jerusalem, they came back to their people that they were leading, it says this. I want you to pick it up again down in verse 29 of the same chapter. Acts chapter 4, down in verse 29, it says this. Guess what they do? They start praying. He says, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." This is by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. This gets into, again, doctrine for them. That's something that Jesus told them that would follow them in Matthew chapter 28 and in Mark chapter 16, specifically as far as that is concerned. But then verse 31, it says this, "And when they had prayed," remember they prayed for boldness, "the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the Word of God," how? "With boldness." It's simple. You lack the boldness to preach and teach the truth, to be able to share the Word of God with somebody. Again, when I say preach and teach, it doesn't mean that you have to be what I'm doing right now, behind the pulpit, preaching and teaching. You have a co-worker, you have a family member, you have a neighbor or something like that that needs to understand truth, they got problems in their life, and you're able to sit down and share truth with them. That's what I'm talking about. And you say, "Man, I don't have the boldness to do that." Guess what you need to do? Pray for it. Pray for it. There's a number of examples that I can share with you. And again, some of you may have heard this example before, but when I went to UMKC, University of Missouri, Kansas City. And, I started out as a music ed major, but I got saved after my freshman year, and that's when I accepted Christ. And the Lord radically changed my life direction. Instead of a career in music and jazz percussionist and playing professionally, doing all that sort of stuff, it was like, "No, I need you to set down drumsticks and I need you to pick up the Bible." And I never regretted it ever since, you know. And so I was doing that. But still, you know, I ended up finishing out after my one semester at a Bible college. I came back to UMKC and I switched to a sociology major, and that's what I graduated with. And so it provided me a number of opportunities to be able to try to further the gospel and share the truth in those classes. But I remember there was this one English advanced composition class that I had, and it was the first day of class, and the teacher was like, "Okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to lay out your short-term goals, and then I want you to lay out your long-term goals. I'm going to give you some time to write those things down, and then you're going to stand up and tell the class what your goals are." And I'm like, I was going to be the third person to stand up and do this. And at that time, I knew God was calling me to be a missionary in Canada. And like I said, now my short-term goal is like I want to try to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ every day as I spend time in the Word of God. My long-term goal is to be able to be on a mission field within the next 3 to 5 years, whatever the case is. And I wrote it down. There was no doubt of what my goals were. And I'm thinking, man, day one of this class, I'm going to label myself as a Jesus freak. I was nervous. Now, you understand. I was preaching. I'm used to getting up in front of people and preaching and teaching the truth. Did it on a weekly basis. The time the church I was involved in, I was I was doing a lot of teaching. I mean, so forth and so on. But anyhow, my heart is pounding. I am nervous because I am labeling myself from day one in this class that I'm a Christian. And so the first person gets up, goes, second person gets up and goes, then it's my turn. I get up, I turn around, and I laid out my goals. I was praying, God, get me through this. Give me the boldness to do this. And I shared my goals. Hey, I want to be more like Christ on a daily basis. Spend time in the Word of God, and I want to be going to the mission field. That's my long-term goal. I saw some people smile and all that, but you know what happened that day? After I sat down, I didn't even know the guy that was by me at this time. He stands up. Basically, he had the same exact goal that he laid out. A few other people get up, and all of a sudden, there was another guy. And he was an international student. I think he was from Malaysia or something like that. He stands up and goes, you know what? My goals are to continue to grow in Christ and to be able to go back to my home country and to be able to reach people with the Word of God. There were three of us in that class that day that had the boldness to stand up in front of a bunch of strangers and lay out that their goals is dealing with a relationship with the Lord. After class, guess what we did? All three of us got together and had a good time of fellowship. That was one of my favorite classes that I had, and I had a professor that allowed me to use my relationship with Christ to fulfill whatever assignments that we had. And I got a good grade in that class. That didn't happen all the time. I got some D's and some F's because they felt like I did not fulfill the responsibility or the requirements. And, I mean, I've had some issues with anthropology teachers. I called him Mr. Monkey. It was an anthropology class, but, you know, I mean, cynical. I didn't call him directly that and say, hey, Mr. Monkey. I didn't do that. I'm just saying within myself, and I told Tris, I got Mr. Monkey as a professor, but I had plenty of time to be able to minister or to share the truth with Mr. Monkey. My point is this. I didn't have everything down. I still don't have everything down now. And yes, you think somebody comes to you and they have a question about the Bible, or they're asking, why do you believe Christ? You think, man, I don't know if I have all the answers down. I don't know what if I say the wrong thing, or blah, 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 blah. We can go on all day long about the different excuses of why we can't. Why do we do what Paul did? Why don't we do what we saw in the church in Jerusalem? Why don't we, God, give me boldness to speak your truth. You think God is not going to answer? God who wants us to share the truth. You think he's going to be in heaven? Fuck that! Are you praying for boldness? You want to speak my word and you want me to give you boldness? No, I'm not going to do that. That doesn't make any sense. Of course, God is going to answer that prayer. He's going to give you what you're asking for. The problem is, we do not decide to actually pray for it. We let our flesh get in the way. We let the world get in the way. We let Satan get in the way from the furtherance of the gospel. Pray for the boldness. I'll give you one more reference and we'll be finished. I want you to go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Philippians, Colossians, and then 1 Thessalonians. Why don't you look in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And this will actually tie us back into what we saw in Acts chapter 16. Another church, at this time that Paul is writing this, he's actually not in prison. But he's not with the Thessalonians. He's sending this letter to them. And Silas, that we saw in Acts chapter 16, is with him, and Timothy as well. And it's a great book. One of these days, maybe we'll go through it on Sunday mornings. But I want you to notice what he says in the first couple of verses in chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 and verse 2, and we'll be finished up. It says this, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, that's Acts chapter 16 that we read at the beginning of this message. Notice what happens here. We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contentions. If you read the book of 1 Thessalonians, you'll find that they were going through sufferings and persecutions. A lot of contention. But Paul did not let that hinder him and his ministry team of Timothy and Philemon from preaching the gospel. Even after they were shamefully entreated at Philippi. We read that. Beaten, whipped, thrown into prison for preaching the gospel. They didn't let that, at that time, stop them from preaching the gospel in the jail. Nor did it affect them and hinder them for the next city that they went to in Thessalonica. And he said to Thessalonians, you know how we were shamefully entreated in Philippi. But we were bold in our God, preaching to you the gospel of God, even though there was contentions going on. Paul never, get this, never let the suffering, affliction, trying circumstance stop or hinder him from preaching the truth. What about us? You know, if I say something to my neighbor, man, I don't know, they might TP my house or something, I don't know. If I say something at work, man, I may have some retribution. Maybe I'll miss out on a promotion or something like that. People are going to talk about me and laugh behind me. I come up with all these excuses. I'm telling you, folks, if you have doubts, if you think that, you know what, I don't have the kind of boldness that I need, that's fine. God has all the boldness that you need. Just like Peter and John. Just like Paul. They prayed for it. Now let's be really, 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 really honest. You know why we don't even want to pray for boldness to preach and teach the gospel? Because deep down in our heart, we really don't want to do it. Maybe somebody else will do it. That's somebody else's job, or somebody else will get it done. God will take care of me. He doesn't need me. The reason why we won't pray for boldness to preach and teach the God, preach and teach the Word of God, the reason why we won't pray for open doors to do so, because deep down, you know what? We really don't want to do it. I'll leave you with this. If you are saved, if you accepted Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior, somebody said something to you. And maybe not just one person, but several people. People planted the seed, they shared the truth of the gospel with you. I don't care if you got saved from listening to somebody on TV, if it's your parents that led you to the Lord, or a co-worker, friend. Somebody was bold enough to open their mouth and share the Word of God with you, and you accepted and got saved. God has people around you in your life for a reason. Will you be bold enough to ask God for boldness and that open door in your life to be able to share the truth, the spread of the gospel? To look at whatever trying circumstance or trouble that may happen in your life this week and say, hey, how is God going to maybe use this to further the gospel? Or are we just going to be self-centered and focused on what was me? The choice is ours. And I hope that everybody that's hearing this message will choose. You know what? I want to further the gospel. I ought to speak it. Like Paul said in 1 Ephesians chapter 6, I ought to speak boldly because he understood what Jesus Christ has done for him. I hope that will be the same decision and attitude that we have to be able to share the gospel. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, I thank you and praise you for the day. I thank you and praise you for your word. There's not really a lot, in a sense, to this message and understanding what's Paul laying out here in Philippians. Lord, I pray that we would take it to heart. I pray that we would have the backbone, the boldness to even pray to you, like Paul did, to have open doors in people's lives and the boldness to share the Word of God. And again, it doesn't mean beating somebody up with the Bible. It doesn't mean cramming the truth down their throat. No. But as you give us an open door, that we would meekly lay out the truth. The decision is all theirs. But we need to decide that we're going to trust you enough to give us the boldness that we need to be able to share the Word of God with others. All the results and decisions are up to that person, our people, and you, and your spirit. You just want to use us as an instrument to be able to share that truth with others. Father, I pray that you would give us that boldness. Give us those open doors. And not let our flesh, not let whatever circumstance that may face us later today or this week, hinder the gospel, but use it as an opportunity to further it. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.